afternoon, everybody. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby, your rock star reverend. How have you been? I haven't been doing my show for the last two Saturdays. The last time was the 14th of September. I've been on a cruise to Hawaii. My wife and I flew to San Francisco on the 15th of September. We spent a night at the Chance Hotel in Union Square, very nice hotel, old, like dating back to 1938. Haunted, yes, there was a few ghosts. No, I'm just kidding. Very nice hotel. And right next door to that, there's a restaurant called the Sears Restaurant. We're all famous. We had such a good time. We want to go back next year. It was a little bit cold in September in San Francisco. If you know anything about San Francisco, it was pretty cool there all year round, you know. Okay. And the next day, we arrived to the... And we were on our way to Hawaii, and it took like 4 days to get there. And rolling for a while, because that stretch of the Pacific Ocean between San Francisco and Hawaii is really deep. Maybe even deeper than that. Imagine that, 3 miles deep. And so the waves were really big, and it wasn't, the ship wasn't a large ship like the ones they're making nowadays, like the Carnival Mardi Gras and the Jubilee out of Galveston and the... It was the 2,100 passenger boat. All those big ones are like 6,500. So the thing is, there isn't a mark. And you don't usually get a lot of kids that are in school, children, young member in school, you know, too well. But after we got close to Hawaii, kind of it smoothed it. So the first thing we did was stop at Maui and get Oahu, Honolulu, and went to a luau, which was paid for by the cruise lines. We had a special kind of cruise called Elite. And there, if you're going to cruise in Carnival, always try to get Elite Carnival Flare Clubs. You have to cruise a few times and play in the casino. $2,000, you know, usually don't win unless you're really smart and know how to gamble and walk away. You know what I mean? Remember that song by Kenny Rogers? You got to know when to hold, know when to fold, know when to walk away, know when to run, that kind of, yeah. So my wife, I gave her, over the course of 15 days, $3,000 to spend. And so this is what we do. Spend money at the casino, we get all these free cruises afterwards. It's a kind of good deal. And it kind of works out a little bit in our favor from my calculations. Anyway, so what happened after the luau in Honolulu, I came down with COVID. And this only reinforces what I think I believe to be true regarding people that catch a virus like that. It's usually because they get some food poisoning, E. coli, salmonella, so tainted food, maybe too much sweets, and it morphs into the virus. It usually begins with me with a sore throat. So I went to the medical center on the boat, and the first thing the doctor said, guess what? There's a lot of other people on the boat that have COVID. Really? Wow. So he prescribed Paxlovid. If it's COVID, Paxlovid. So I said, cool. How much does that cost? $750. So, okay, well, I'm going to be putting in for reimbursement, by the way. I've got the paperwork that I'm going to submit it. I got insurance, and that's one thing you always have to do when you go on a cruise. You get travel insurance, and that covers a lot of things, including having to medevac you if you need to be medevac. Well, that cleared up. My symptoms really weren't too much. You know, I didn't have a cough like I did before I got COVID in 2022. My wife had COVID before me, like several months before me. And people are getting it all the time. You know, it's just like a different variation of the flu. Nothing to be too concerned about, in my opinion. It went away in a couple of days, and I was okay, and I am now. I just tested myself yesterday, and I'm negative, came back negative. So well, now it's COVID. Go figure. But I think I'm a person that likes to sleep on their back a lot. I'm an old soldier, a soldier for life. I'm going to take a drink. And being a soldier for life, and especially one who has kidneys to his son back in 1995, and found out in 1997 that actually fractured my spine. And I'm not complaining, I'm just telling you facts here. That I fractured my spine through a hypertension injury, and I know how I did it. It's happened to me a few times in my life. I think the first time was when I was very young, possibly 3 years old. My parents aren't here now where I can ask them if they remember that I did that. But I slipped on ice. You know, I was born and raised in Canada. He came up. I came down, put out my right shoulder, my right elbow to block my fall, and I heard a crack in my neck. Did that surprise anybody? And so I think I had a neck MRI of my neck and x-ray of my neck, but it didn't reveal anything. But I know there's something like a pinched nerve that still bothers me to this day, and also my back and the fourth and fifth lumbar vertebrae alignment. Anyway, so with the kidney donation and the hypertension injury, I sleep in my back. Use a wedge pillow. I've been doing that for many, many years. Even when I was in the Army in 1997, I started sleeping on my back without a pillow. I did that for 7 years. And if you do some research, you know, on the internet and read about sleeping without a pillow, it actually turned out to be pretty good for me at the time. Then I was getting tired of it. I got a Tempur-Pedic bed. I got one of those contour pillows, and I slept on that for a few years. That way on my back still. Then I traded the Tempur-Pedic bed in for like a pillow top kind of bed, and then I started sleeping on my side, but it wasn't the same. And whenever I sleep on my side, I just don't seem to get enough oxygen. But that's just me, you know, my body. Plus, I always use cold showers. I've been showering with cold showers, not only because I was here in San Antonio, even before. Actually, not before I moved here, but if you do the research on the internet also, cold showers are so beneficial. It's got a lot of benefits to include better circulation, better breathing, and better sleeping. But what did I do when I got on the cruise? I started experimenting with a little bit of hot water because the rooms were kind of cold. And so it's tough. You got to be tough to shower with cold water. There's actually a video on YouTube called The Art of Manliness. They say that showering with cold water is so good. And, you know, back in the day when, before they invented hot water heaters, people used to shower with cold water. And the Japanese, the Asian people, they were like, bathe in water. And living back then, like the samurais, bathed in cold water. And a lot of cultures from around the world always, throughout the centuries, my friends, bathed in cold water. And we're getting kind of lazy and kind of, what's the word I'm thinking? But not lazy, but we're kind of wimpy, if you know what I mean. Wimpy is the word. Always taking hot showers. But, I mean, each to his own. You have free will. My wife, he never takes any cold showers. So wimpy is not a good word. Let me take that back. But the point I'm making is that do the research. You're interested on feeling better, keeping the sinuses clean, clear. If you've got any allergies, like cats or pollens or any allergies out there, think about taking cold showers. I guarantee you it'll help your sinuses to be better. It'll keep your circulation going better. Be able to breathe better. So anyway, those, that combination of things, not sleeping on my back, not taking cold showers, with that food I got, the luau, they had this one type of food that was like a, they say that it's made out of coconut and sugar, and if you eat too many of them, it's like a laxative. And then there was this other thing called poi, P-O-I. It was purple color, didn't taste of anything. And then I'm not a meat eater, I'm a vegan, mainly vegan, 99% vegan. I'll eat some food that's got a little bit of dairy and I had some rice, I had some salad, some potato salad. On my plate, I got some meat, which I didn't eat. I thought my wife might want the extra meat, but she didn't. Fortunately, they ate some of the meat off my plate, put down underneath the table, and I then picked up COVID like the day after. So it was too much of a coincidence. I think the luau had something to do with it. And another thing, too, they had us all yelling and screaming. That they had these fire throwers and these really cool, beautiful dancers, beautiful Hawaiian women doing the hula, you know, just very attractive looking, you know, and moving those hips. And they had other dancers, male dancers, too. And the fire thrower was just awesome, throwing that sticks of fire with fire on each end up in the air and catching them and twirling them around, you know, with the lights off and the stage. So then the guy comes out there and he was trying to get everyone yelling and screaming at me, being an old former Army guy and loving to do cadence. I just was yelling as loud as I could. And sure enough, then the next day my throat started to hurt. And that's usually an indication to me that I'm coming down with some kind of virus. It always happens that way. Sore throat, and then the mucus in my throat and the coughing. But it didn't happen that way this time. Maybe because I nipped it in the bud soon and then started taking the Paxlovid, which is pretty good stuff. May I recommend, if you ever get COVID, my friend, Paxlovid. The Reverend Blake Ruby recommends it. So we got back, and we still, even my wife is a little bit sick now. She's just recovering. She was coughing, but she didn't have COVID. She got tested, and she got some medication. And when I got off the boat in Ensenada, Mexico, that was the last stop. So from Hawaii to Ensenada, we didn't take any tours, but I got off the boat, hopped a bus to go to downtown Ensenada. I went and bought me some antibiotics at the pharmacy, which you can do in Mexico and other countries around the world. So now I've got some amoxicillin in case I need to use them down the road. Who knows what might happen. Like I said, in my opinion, and it's my opinion, people usually get a virus because they get food poisoning first, and it morphs into the virus. So E. coli, salmonella poisoning. And then shortly after that, you know, your system gets knocked out of kilter, so to speak, and come down with the virus, whether it's COVID or the flu or pneumonia, whatever. So I've got some amoxicillin, about 90 bottles, 90 pills in a bottle, two bottles, $50 a bottle. So if you ever go to another country, buy yourself a good stock of antibiotics, you know, in my opinion. We don't need to have a prescription here in the United States to buy antibiotics. When I was in my last duty assignment in Caracas, Venezuela, I used to go and buy me a Z-Pak over the counter whenever I was not feeling up to snuff, so to speak. So anyway, we got in San Francisco on the 1st of October, flew back in here, and that was the longest cruise we'd ever taken, 15 days. We had to get a drink. So anyway, my friends, let me change the subject here. Taking a drink. The sun's going down over there in the distance. I mentioned earlier that I am a rock star. I am. I did karaoke on the cruise. And I know. Can I say this humbly? I kind of blew everybody away. They were looking at me, like, especially the first day, the IT people were there trying to get the karaoke system going when I first walked in there. It wasn't working properly for whatever reason. So that first day, we did a cappella singing. They asked for volunteers to come up and sing a cappella. So I go up there, and I start singing My Way by Frank Sinatra. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll stick it. And all of a sudden, everyone starts turning around. Even the people at the bar are looking at me like, man, this guy is good. This guy thinks he's Frank Sinatra. Wait a second. Who does he think he is? And I kept on going. And I finished the song. People like clapping all the way through it. This one woman who was in the front, she was like, okay, you can stop now. No, I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to go all the way to the end and say, I did it my way. And wow, nice applause. And then I got back up and did, after a few people, Love's a May Splendor Thing by Frank Sinatra. Love is a many splendid thing. It's the April rose that only grows in the early spring. Love is nature's way of giving a reason to be living, a golden crown that makes a man a king. The next day, the karaoke was working. First song I sang was Stairway to Heaven. And that blew everybody away again. They're like, yeah, and that's a hard song to sing when you take your time and sing it slowly and methodically, you know, not try to go fast, like, ooh, and it makes me wonder. There's a feeling I get when I look to the west. And my spirit is crying for leaving. In my thoughts, I have seen wings of smoke through the trees and the voices of those who stand looking. So I sang that song all the way to the end, and also then great applause, you know. But I don't look at the monitor when I do karaoke because I'm not a beginner. Most people are beginners, you know. You look at the monitor. I mean, I do occasionally. I just take a glance, steal a glance to make sure I'm on track, especially if it's a different version. And that's quite possible that that happens often. They'll play a different version. Sing King, I'm not really that familiar with Sing King. Carafun is the one I use the most, and that's the best in my opinion. But if I'm not familiar with the version, I got to take a quick glance, make sure I'm on track, you know, and I usually am. But some people look at the monitors, and I like to look at every single person in the room as I'm singing. And they'll be all, like, looking at me like, dang. Because when you look at somebody, even just for a few moments, you know, you kind of put them on the spot. But I don't care, because that's the way you're supposed to do it, right? You got these singers, like the singers on the stage there on the cruises, you know, they look at the audience, although they've got bright lights shining in their eyes and stuff. They do look out into the audience. They don't look at, there's no monitor for them to look at. But also, they have these wireless microphones attached to their heads, you know, with a box usually in their back pocket. You do karaoke, and you can choose to hold the microphone with your left hand or your right hand, or if they have a microphone stand, that's what I actually prefer, is using the microphone stand, because I practice without a microphone here in my back patio, my man cave, my little man cave. This is where I work too during the day, and it's great because I get a lot of fresh air and sunshine all the time. And I'm standing. I've got a sit-stand workstation. Kind of. I mean, I don't ever sit, actually. I stand all the time. But anyway, guess what I did this morning? My wife and I, we did our Toastmasters Club. We got up at 8 o'clock, and then we had our meeting began at 9:30. There was 12 people in person there, sitting around the table. And imagine that, on a Saturday morning at 9:30, and then you got to stand up and talk and look at everybody. My name is Blake Ruby. I am a human being. Yes, I have feelings. Sometimes my heart beats a little bit fast. Sometimes I can't catch my breath. I just want to take a deep breath. Hold on, everybody, just a few seconds. Can I take a deep breath? Watch me take a deep breath. Are you ready? Here I go. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that. But sometimes you feel like you want to do that, you know? And so I had a table topic, which is they give you a subject and you talk about it for 1 to 2 minutes. Just when you get warmed up, it's time to sit down. That's why I love my radio show. My friends, you watch your own radio show, contact BBS Radio on any subject that you may be passionate about. There is nothing like, and there is no better practice for public speaking than have your own radio show and talk for 1 hour nonstop if you want. You can have guests. That's an option, too, if you want. But to be able to talk for 1 hour nonstop, I guarantee you, from the Reverend Blake Ruby, take it from me, that it has helped me in my public speaking progression. And improvement is all that matters. It's what it's all about. I often think, and I mentioned today when I was talking in front of those people, and there's two people online, so 14 people all together. I said, I've got my own radio show I get to talk for an hour. Imagine that, talking for an hour nonstop. It's a skill that you learn. And I've been doing this now for over 6 years, and I love it. I have the occasional guests, and if you want to be a guest on my show and you want to talk about extraterrestrials and you want to talk about near-death experiences and you want to talk about God, nature, the universe, you want to talk about our future as human beings here on this planet, you want to talk about angels, call in. Tell me what you're passionate about, and we can talk. I don't mind. If you're really chomping at the bit to say something about ETs, I was talking about that today. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again to begin with. Watch Astral Legends, A-S-T-R-A-L, Legends, on YouTube. There's 4 videos there, episodes on the different extraterrestrials that they know exist, they don't believe exist, that they know exist in our Milky Way galaxy, and there's such a variation. There's thousands of types of humanoid ETs out there, my friends. You better believe it, all kinds of variations of human beings, from tall to short to different sizes, width-wise, different variations of eyes and face, facial faces, you know, and hairstyle, and some with hair, without hair, some that have feathers that are like hair, like in Star Wars, those kinds of ETs that they've got, even though I don't believe in Star Wars. I don't like the title Star Wars because space is supposed to be a peaceful domain. We don't need war here on planet Earth, and especially not in outer space, my friends. Although, going back to Star Wars, they do have some good representations of what some of the ETs really do look like that are out there. And the universe is teeming. If you don't know that, eventually you will. The only reason they haven't made contact with us now is because we're still a very violent species. We've had war throughout the centuries. We still have war going on. So why should they make contact with a warlike species? It'd be just like in The Day the Earth Stood Still. Have you seen that movie? Check it out if you haven't. It's very interesting. And the scenario is a spaceship lands near the White House, and it is immediately surrounded by tanks and police and artillery pieces, and the guy comes out of the spaceship and somebody has an itchy trigger finger. Next thing you know, he's going to pull something out as a gift. He gets shot. The robot comes out, starts obliterating some of the tanks and other weapons. And so the point is, if a spaceship did land, do you really, really think anywhere in the public, you know, where it could be filmed, especially in Washington, D.C., that it's surrounded in a matter of minutes with police and Army National Guard and all their weapons and tanks and artillery and rifles and shotguns and flamethrowers and grenade launchers. I don't think that would happen. Of course they would. Somebody would freak out, have an itchy trigger finger, like I mentioned, and they could start shooting at it. So why would they want to make contact with someone who was going to try to, even though I'm sure our weaponry couldn't harm them, because they, if you're able to travel throughout the universe, years to them, they would know how to deal with that type of weaponry. But more than that, it's an insult to them, so they wouldn't even want to mess around with that. They would just say, you guys aren't ready yet. And as soon as you want to put your weapons down and stop fighting each other, then we will make contact with you. And so, my friends, put your hands out, please. Your left hand, your right hand. You ready? I've got a little practical exercise for you. Okay. On the left hand, and this is the truth. I'm telling you the truth here. You've got all the wars that we've had throughout the centuries here on planet Earth. Do I need to name them for you? There's a lot, right? And still going on today. Okay. On your left hand. Continuous warfare for you and your children and their children on this planet, or, on the other hand, making contact with extraterrestrials. They're just waiting out there for us. There's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of them here in the Milky Way galaxy, which we're revolving around the center of, just like we're revolving around our sun. It's now October, my friends. Did you know this year, compared to last year, we were in approximately the same location in outer space, revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy? Different, yes, but similar. And our galaxy is revolving around the center of the universe. And what power is holding that into existence? None other than the Supreme Creator of the universe. Talk to him. I'm talking to him right now. Creator, are you out there? You listening? Yes, I am. I heard him. I just wanted to say thank you for everything, because it didn't have to be anything. You get this feeling that comes over you like a feeling of nothingness. Well, once upon a time, the Creator was by his herself, because the Creator is male and female, whether you like it or not. Logically, the universe is a male and female universe. If you want me to explain that to you, well, you probably wouldn't understand it anyway. But suffice it to say that the Creator of the universe is both male and female, and you can establish a relationship with the Creator. You'll find that the Creator is a very cool being, very fun and knowledgeable, omniscient, actually knows everything, and omnipotent, able to do anything. Create a planet here, a sun there, create spirit children on planet, use the second force of the universe and create animal and plant life on any planet anywhere in the universe. And they're being created all the time. I've mentioned this so many times before, of infinite space are constantly expanding, my friend. Oh, that's so true. Infinite space. Can you comprehend that? It's a very, very amazing situation that we are part of, my friends. A very incredible situation. All this was made by the Creator, who wanted them to get to grow is what it's all about. I could say expand, that's another word, but grow is more appropriate for the Creator. Imagine, all those billions of years ago, the Creator decided to grow this herself. The concept of growth is actually quite complicated, quite complex, when you think about it. We were babies at one time, now look at us. We're standing on the ground, we're adults. And we're getting old, you know. I'm 70. My hair on my face has already turned gray. My beard is gray. So we go through a process of growth from the moment we're born to when we eventually expire, our expiration date, which is already predetermined, apparently, because we planned our lives in the pre-existence before we were born. is true. We are spirits in the material world, and we were also spirits in the spirit realm before we were born. You better believe it, my friend. And that's what we're going back to. Us who do the really heinous acts here on earth, like kill your fellow man, fellow human being, without a good reason, very maliciously. I know some people follow orders or try to do the right thing, especially if someone's trying to kill them, like in warfare. So it's all about the forgiveness that you have in your heart, what kind of person you are. It will determine if you become a ghost, walk the surface of the earth, or go down below the surface to God's jail when you pass away, or start rising up, flying away into the atmosphere, into that second heaven, which is above the clouds, so it's crystalline spiritual structures that are out there. Or if you make it all the way outside the Earth's atmosphere and 93 million miles away to that world on fire over there, which is the home of the spirit, because the spirit is made of light energy. Anybody want to debate that? Light energy, you know what light energy is? The source of light energy is the matrix solar system. The sun is the source of light in our solar system. And other suns around the universe, now their solar systems are doing the same thing. And the beings that live there are indigenous to the world they live on. And they could have blue skin. They could have coarse, bark-like skin. They could have large, well, they'd be 9 feet tall. They could have been for hundreds of millions of years before even our solar system was created, my friends. They're out there. They might be listening to my radio show right now. I can say this to them. I've got this bug that keeps flying around in my eyes here. That's one thing I don't like about summertime, is that some insects are very annoying and trying to get into my eyes. A dragonfly flying around in the backyard, and he's okay, you know, but he try to fly into your eye. There's no flies try to invade my space here. You know, I'm a human being. I'm a co-creator of God, and I've got these little bugs. There's no bugs in heaven when I get there, you know. And heaven, wow, on that subject, the sun, when you do eventually make it, you go back to where you started from, my friend. And we're carried here to earth, usually by angels, or angels called warrior angels. And, you know, we make that trip together, and they'll take us down, kind of like on Google Maps, you know, that same kind of scenario. You go down, and you'll see the state, and you'll see a city, and then you'll see the closer above the house with where your mother lives. And the angel will stop, maybe just above it, or take you right down inside the house, and he'll say, "There's your mother." And I got the last few words, you know, "Are you going to leave me?" "Oh, it's been so good." "No, thank you." And they're very stoic beings, you know. That it's a very serious mission, an important mission that they have. And he'll say, or he, she, because they're androgynous too, male. And then we'll push you. "Are you ready?" He'll say, he, she will say. And they'll push you. And all of a sudden, you'll be in your mother's womb. Yeah. And, you know, when we were babies in our mother's wombs for 9 months, yeah, we could actually see through their eyes. Yeah. Now, on the subject of abortion, my friends, what I believe in is that we are all separate beings, separate. Yes, we grow in a mother's womb, but we are still separate spirits and souls. So don't draw the line and say that your body belongs to your mother's. It doesn't. It doesn't today. Didn't back then. You are your own separate soul on your own separate soul's journey. Now, I understand and I have compassion for the mothers that have to make very difficult decisions. And in a perfect world, we would understand their situation and be able to make the right decision in regard to helping them out as far as whether to have a baby or not. But this, I would say this, and we have two candidates that we're going to vote for coming up here in about 30 days, I would say I'm going to vote for life. and that separate being having life, because I'm alive today because I wasn't aborted. However, you are co-creator God in the making, and you have free will. And I know also there's another issue on the table here, and that is having a woman president, even though they might not say so. In my mind, I know that that is a huge issue, because women have been mistreated for almost throughout the centuries up until recently. They haven't been treated equally. Even now in some countries around the world, they're treated worse than animals, which is unbelievable to me that the mother of our children, the mothers of our children are treated very badly, who raise us, who change our diapers, who lovingly, I don't know any mother out there who doesn't love their baby. Now, there's some exceptions, a very small percentage, but the majority of mothers love their children, and that love, we can sense that love in everything they do for us when they're growing up, especially as babies, you know, and changing their diapers and feeding us, you know? And it's really heartbreaking and sad that we have to choose somebody that they can't come together and work out those issues. If we only knew more, if we knew more about the soul, how it's eternal, and the spirit, you know, inside our bodies, which leave our bodies at nighttime when we dream and travel and we get to meet each other in these places that we can't remember. Probably it's not a good idea to remember all of it, right? Just like we can't remember our past lives we had before we were born here on this planet, because we're not supposed to. We go through that river of oblivion where we are made to forget all of our past lives and universal knowledge, because this planet is a category 1 on a scale of 1 to 9, where 1 is the least evolved and 9 is the most evolved. And when you get to a category 9 planet, you have a veritable paradise close to heaven, as you can imagine, where animals don't eat each other and there's no pollution and the air and the water are pristine and pure. The beings that live there are extremely, extremely intelligent. There's no war. And the mother should live in harmony with nature, and they would in no way do anything to hurt their planet. But we are all co-creator gods in the making, and this is just another step in our evolution, my friends. We hopefully will evolve from this planet and move on to another planet elsewhere, either the Milky Way galaxy or another galaxy that has a level of evolution that would be commensurate to what we have learned so far. So this is like a school here on planet Earth, in the university of the universe. Believe it or not, the universe is like a university. You have all these different learning environments for your soul to achieve that co-creator God status, where you will then be able to create with your soulmate and have your own planets and your own spirit children, your own patch of universe, if you will, in an infinite universe. Is that hard to imagine, my friends? That is the epitome of the evolution that you're going through, the highest stage where you reach co-creator God status and you're able to utilize the cosmic forces that are in the universe waiting for you to manipulate, if you know how to. And how do you do that? With the right words. That's why it always behooves us to use our words wisely, especially don't use any vulgar words, which I do occasionally to make my... because it usually is funny, but then sometimes I'll just fire off a quick... because I know the Creator wants us to use our words wisely. Words, like it says in the Bible, are the essence of creation. So basically speaking, therefore, we can either create or destroy with our words, or not do anything. Stay neutral. Drink here. So kind of like, to give you an example, when you heard that before, just a second. Ah, that's some good water. You heard the expression, let there be light? That is an example of what I mean when I say you can use words to create, whether it's the sun. That's just like the tip of the iceberg, though. What you'll need to know in order to manipulate those cosmic energies and forces to start forming into a sun with a nuclear core to fire up, or a planet with a lot of swirling gas and dust and rocks that will start to coalesce, and then later on, life will form and water. New solar systems are being formed every moment as we speak around the universe, because don't you know the universe is an incredibly huge place? Do you know that, my friends, just how large it is? I go out to the backyard in the evening sometimes and look up at the sun. Well, I love doing that. I don't do it enough. If I didn't have all these bugs out here annoying me, biting me when I go outside, then I might do it more often, but they're just doing their thing, you know. And I understand they're looking for food. They have two main concerns: look for food and also reproduce. You look up at the evening sky, and I've seen this before. Did you know there is not one square inch of evening sky? If you can go outside the Earth's atmosphere, because, you know, what we see is kind of tainted, if you will, or not shown properly because of the Earth's atmosphere, just what's out there. If you go out beyond the Earth's atmosphere, and American astronauts have seen this, and the people in the International Space Station, there is not one square inch of outer space that's not filled with hundreds and hundreds of stars. Way, way back. And there, once you get into the Earth's atmosphere, above the Earth's atmosphere, and in orbit around our world, you'll notice that they're about 25% brighter in light. And they shine with a brilliance that will make you cry. It really will bring you to your knees. It's so beautiful. I've heard that before. And there's so much that we can praise that's out there that the creative universe has given us. And all you have to do is seek the creator. All you have to do is praise the creator. Creator, are you still listening to me? I'm always here, always. I'm in everything. I'm in other people. I'm in the trees. I'm in the ground. I'm also a being. For those that haven't heard me say this before, for your benefit, because I have mentioned it before on previous shows, there is a YouTube video out there. I don't know if you've heard of it, by a woman by the name of Donna Rebadow, R-E-B-A-D-O-W. She is a retired teacher, and she died. She drowned, and this is really true. She was under the water for a long time, and all the air came out of her lungs. Are you convinced now that she was really dead? So she went to a veil, and she found herself in outer space, kind of like atmosphere with stars everywhere, and she realized she was in eternity. And I'm going to make a long story short. She saw the creator of the universe come up towards her. She said the creator of the universe was like an aurora borealis, but all different colors, shimmering, waving, with a kind of electricity that was just hard to imagine for us, you know, a crackling of energy that is so powerful, you know, that the whole universe could be manipulated by this being. And her spirit recognized the creator, because we have a piece of the creator inside of us. That's what powers our soul. We have a little piece of the creator's light, which lights up our soul. The soul is the brain of the spirit. We have a physical brain. We have a spiritual brain. The soul is our spiritual brain. And the creator came towards her, and her soul recognized the creator because of that light. And she said, oh, my God, you are the creator of the universe. And she heard back right away telepathically, I am the creator of the universe. And then she said, oh, my God, I don't know why she said this. She said, you know everything. And she heard back telepathically, I know everything. Now, creator of the universe, you know everything, and you are omnipotent. You can do anything. You can create anything anywhere in the universe. You can create any type of life anywhere in the universe. You can create any kind of planet or sun anywhere in the universe. Creator, how did you get that power? That's pretty awesome. And the creator would say, you can have the same powers. You can't be me, but you can be like me. Wow, really? That's awesome. What do I need to do? Just keep following your heart. Do all the good that you can do here on earth. Give to the poor and the needy. Help your fellow human being out. Say your prayers. Ask for help. Ask for protection. Ask for anything that you need. If you need more love, if you need more help regarding one of your so-called enemies. And you know, Jesus told us to pray for our enemies. Any situation, there's a need, there's a prayer for every need, my friend, truly. And I never forget that. And remember also what the Creator said. Actually, it wasn't the Creator. It was the Father God, I think, for this man. And I've said this before in previous shows. Let me just say it again. Hope you don't mind if you've heard it before. And so being co-creator gods in the making, we aspire to be a mother and father god and have our own solar system and our own planet and sun, of course, you know, and we get to see them being created. But this is going to take like millions of years in the physical universe for it to happen, you know. Planet Earth is, in my best estimate, don't believe all the scientists and astronomers out there, my friends, they tend to exaggerate. In my opinion, and everyone's entitled to their opinion, you know, what matters is what's true and what's not true, right? Planet Earth is approximately 2.5 million years old, and our sun, not much older than that, maybe another million years or 2 million years old. So there you go. From the Reverend Blake, will be taken from me, but you're entitled to your opinion. Anyway, like I was saying, there is a mother and father God, and they're the ones that you're going to go see and have your life review and have your judgment day, so to speak, in front of. And they're going to review all the good that you did, all the bad. And guess who's going to judge you? You. So say a prayer right now for your forgiveness, that you will forgive yourself. That's what matters. Some people aren't going to forgive you. You're going to have to forgive yourself. And you know what you've done in your life. I know what I've done. And I'm alive today by the grace of the Mother and Father God, and I'm eternally thankful for that, without going into the details. And some things are better left unsaid. And what about you, my friend? I think we've all done some things we're not proud of in our past lives, but then, I mean, in our earlier life. But then, we all grow up, you know, we're going through growing pains, and we have to deal with our parents and their influence over us, and maybe also we get involved with a bad peer group and we're taking drugs and alcohol. Need I say any more, my friend? Need I say any more? Oh yes, alcohol, the drug that's been ruining families for thousands of years here on planet Earth, my friends. Drink it wisely and in moderation, please, if you're going to drink it. Anyway, like I was saying, there's a Mother God and there's a Father God, and don't get the Mother God part wrong, my friends. Don't go into the spirit realms, which will happen one day. We all will transition to the spirit realms. And then you'll say, oh, if only I'd known that. Dang, I spent a whole lifetime, didn't even know there was a Mother God. You're going to meet her. You're going to stand before her throne along with the Father God. Anyway, the Father God appears to male spirits sometimes, and Mother God will appear to male, female, mainly, predominantly female spirits. And we're all predominantly one, either male or female spirit. Either male or female spirit. Now, sometimes we'll try incarnating into the body of an opposite sex. A male spirit might want to be incarnated into a female body, or a female spirit into a male body. And that's why you have a lot of homosexual or gay or whatever you want to call them here on planet Earth. And that's all right. You know why they do that? And that's why there's more and more, even transgender, on planet Earth. I love them. I think they're awesome because they have a very different and difficult mission to perform while here on Earth. And it's easy for them to find their way and love. So I sympathize with them for them that they will find their way and not feel worried. And they're helping to make the world a better place, too, and bring more love. And that's what we need in this world. There's a lot of people making a lot of problems and not enough love to go around. You know what I'm saying? Then take a drink. So it's possible that you, listening out there to me, in a previous lifetime, were a person of the opposite sex. Going back to what I was saying, Lou Famoso, check out that name, Famoso, F-A-M-O-S-O, a Vietnam veteran, served two tours, came back to the States, bought himself a 64 Mustang. Cool, right? Beautiful. I love those cars. So on his way to a party on a Saturday night, going down a country road over 100 miles an hour, and don't you know, those cars are very front heavy. And you start hitting bumps, you're going to lose control, and that's what happened. He flipped end over end several times, came to rest on the side of the road, car was on fire, he was ejected from the car, had a gaping head wound. Hey, come on, you know that stuff happens. So he had a near-death experience. And among other things, I'm going to keep a long story short, he found himself in the spirit realms, a beautiful world that was like, I mean, the colors are more intense, you know. If you can remember anything that I said, this internalizes the colors are more dense. They're a lot more brighter. And there's even some colors that you won't recognize. And it's just like here on Earth. There's trees, there's rivers, there's mountains, there's valleys. And there's beings everywhere, which could be interpreted as orbs of light. There's angels everywhere. You're going to be remembering all the angels that you knew when you transitioned to the other side, when you cross over. There'll be a remembering, and all these angels and spirit guides that you have right now, remember them. Yeah. What? Where have you been? Well, you've been made to forget. You know, you were born in this world through that river of oblivion and made to forget because it's a very special learning environment. A Category 1 planet, we learn each other. And you learn to live in harmony. You learn to love each other. So anyway, Lou Famoso was there. He's in this heaven-like environment, which was heaven, actually. All these orbs of light flying around, angels, beautiful, beautiful scenery. I mean, grass, green grass. Both just to tell you how. It feels, the spirit body is different, you know, very similar, but different than the physical body. You still have the face, you still have arms and legs, and you have your soul, and you've got all of your senses, except for the feeling of touch. It's different there, but you can see, you can hear, you can smell. You can smell sound, you can smells. It's very complicated and complex and intertwined. But anyway, so Lou Famoso saw an orb of light. Use your imagination with me now as I say this. An orb of light coming towards him. Like a billiard ball, a small ball of light, getting bigger, bigger, like a basketball, coming closer and closer, coming towards him. Orb, a beautiful glowing orb of golden light is shimmering, coming towards him, as big as a beach ball, now bigger, bigger, right before him. It stops and materializes into this beautiful being of light about twice the size of an average man, maybe 10 feet tall, 11 feet tall. This, like a nuclear energy kind of energy emanating from this being, sketched as if like with a fine quill pen on the outline of its body, you know. And this is what he said to him, among other things. Man will pray for man until man learns to pray for man. P-R-E-Y versus P-R-A-Y. So now you're going to pray for everybody, right? Because you don't want this world to end. You don't want war to consume us. You want war to stop, and you want love to reign, right? So as a quick prayer, my friends, creator of the universe, you can do anything. You're omnipotent and omniscient. Help us to survive here on planet Earth. There's so many good people. We're worthy of being saved. Help us, please. I ask you in the name of Jesus, in the name of everybody. Amen. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.